Amen to that one. May I speak to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, here we go. I stand here this morning on behalf of all the hundreds of women priests who we are honouring today, and I really feel so privileged to have the opportunity to share my own personal story with you, because every priest has a different story, and it's lovely that I have this opportunity today to share my story. In the early years of my ministry, I was always being asked, what led you to become a priest? Why did you want to do this? Well, I'm going to tell you now. My journey, my calling, began, I believe, when I was just 5. Unbelievable when you think about it, but this is true. My sister Celia and I went to convent schools, which had a very profound effect on our spirituality. I personally was captivated by the mystery, the ministry and devotion surrounding the services that we attended. I desperately wanted to continue this reverence when I got home after school. So one day when I came home from school, I went and I got my mother's tea tray. And I found a lovely white starched tray cloth, because she used to starch everything in those days. It was beautiful. And I put this on the tray. Then I made a tabernacle, and in the tabernacle I put a piece of bread. Then I found one of my father's lovely white hankies, and I put that over it and covered it. And then I put the rosary, which I had, going to a Catholic school, I put that round. And then I knelt down and I prayed. And you know, this was not a game. For me, it was something really holy, something very special. And over the next few weeks, I would rush home from school. I couldn't wait to get up into my bedroom and kneel before my little altar, feeling an amazing intimacy with God, even at that very young age. Then one day, I came home from school, and my temple had been desecrated. My mother had reclaimed her articles, and all that was left on my altar was my rosary. She'd even dismantled my tabernacle with the bread inside it. Do you know, even after all these years, I can feel it. I feel, I'm even wearing now, I felt an intense sadness that it had been taken away from me. But you know, as the years rolled on, I thought about these things even more. And then I actually thought about becoming a nun, much to my parents' horror. They thought, we didn't send you to a convent school, June, to become a nun. Well, my best friend made the decision, actually, to enter the convent. And it seemed such an exciting adventure. But actually, even more exciting was a boy that had just come into my life, David. And so actually, all the thoughts of becoming a nun went flying out of the window. And I got on with my life. So marriage, motherhood, and returning to work as administration manager in charge of 10 offices filled my days. But you know, still that still small voice whispering in the back saying, will you come and follow me if I but call your name? This call became louder and louder. And although working full time, I began getting up in the middle of the night, praying and seeking God's guidance for my life, quite expecting him to use my gifts in administration. I kept looking in the papers to see if Christian Aid wanted an administrator or Save the Children, because I was sure that that was what God was calling me to do. The struggle for women to be ordained, which, as Derwin has said, had gone back to the 1970s. And it was not something that I'd taken any notice of, to be honest. I hadn't followed it at all. I didn't know that they were struggling to become priests. So actually, when the local vicar came to see me and said he had a message from God, I thought, oh, what's he got to say? Perhaps he's got a job for me at Save the Children or something. But he said, no. He said, I feel God is calling you to be ordained. What did I do? I burst out laughing. I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. And he was not amused. He slapped something on my kitchen table, and some forms, and off he went. Well, I took the dogs around the field, and I was talking to God, you know, saying, Lord, is this what you're calling me to do? Is this what I've been asking? And I just felt, yes, June, this is what I want you to do. I'm calling you. Well, David came home from work. His dinner wasn't ready that day. And I told him what had happened. I said, the vicar thinks that I should be ordained. He said, what? How ridiculous! That's stupid. He said, you haven't even got an ology. And you haven't got A-levels. So how can you do it? But, you know, by faith and in total obedience, I said, Lord, here I am. And I sent my application in. Well, as the date got closer for my initial interview at the Abbey, I felt God saying to me, June, I want you to do something in faith. I want you to hand your notice in before you go for your interview. And I thought, oh, Lord, this is awfully risky, because I was on a very big salary. But no, that voice kept saying, no, just trust me. Hand your notice in. So I agreed it with David. He said, well, if that's what you feel God doing, he said, I suppose I'll have to go along with it. You know, he was getting used to this by now. So I handed my notice in before the interview, the day before. My boss was horrified because he always called me his right-hand man. But you know, when I look back, I wonder at my leap of faith because of that senior position I held, because resigning meant a huge drop in our income. But David was amazingly supportive, and of course God did provide. So I handed my notice in. And then he said, my boss said to me, June, why don't you wait? Wait until you've gone to your interview. Wait till Monday. It doesn't have to come in today. I said, no, it does. It's got to be done today, because this is what I feel God calling me to do. And he thought, oh, please wait. You know, he didn't understand. He hadn't got a faith. And he just thought I was totally bonkers. He probably thought I was going through the menopause or something, as my mother did, incidentally. She was sure that was what was happening. Well, the following day, I went for my interview, and it was a very awesome, scary time. There were four people sat there, very po-faced, firing questions at me, looking at my CV, saying, oh, well, you haven't got any ologies, have you? You know, how do you think you're going to cope with 3 years' intense study with your background? And you're working full-time, and you've got children at home. This is a big risk. You wouldn't be able to cope with it, June. What do you think? He looked directly at me, the chairman. And I said, yesterday, in obedience to what I felt God saying, I handed in my notice so that I can devote myself to the task ahead, because I feel that's what God is calling me to do. The room was filled with a holy silence. It was amazing. The chairman quietly nodded to the other people that were interviewing and said, any more questions? And they all said, they just shook their heads. No one said a word. It was just amazing. You could feel the presence and the power of God in that room. And I walked out. And I know that if I had not followed God's instruction, I wouldn't be standing here this morning, because it all hinged on that trust. I had to trust in that little voice and to do it in the order he wanted. 3 years training followed, and I was ordained a deacon first in St. Albans Abbey. For those of you who don't know, you become a deacon in the first year, and then the following year you become a priest. Well, you do now anyhow, but then you didn't. You were ordained a deacon, and up until 1993 you stayed a deacon. And some of the women had been deacons for many, many years and were waiting for that vote to go through. But of course, I was ordained in the July, and the vote to allow women to the priesthood went through in the November. And my phone was electric. People were ringing me up. Oh, whoa, whoa, what's happening? Are you going to be... And I didn't know at that point. I really didn't know. I was quite happy, believe it or not, to remain a deacon. And I wasn't over anxious at all to be priested. But the following day, we had a staff meeting on a Monday, And my vicar, Barry Goodwin, asked me if I was considering going forward for priesting. I was just about to say no, when I had a really powerful vision of myself standing behind the altar. My heart started racing, and tears were in my eyes. And I just knew that God was calling me to the priesthood. I don't know if you remember, Elizabeth Goldsmith, you were there that day, and it was just amazing. And I just knew at that moment that God wanted me to take that next step forward. And so I was ordained a priest in June, I think it was actually June the 25th, 1994. And Luke, who's here today, one of my grandchildren, he was just 6 weeks old, so I can remember seeing you there now. You don't remember, I'm sure, but you were there. So, ordained a priest. And I was actually ordained a priest in Chesant Church, which had been the church I grew up in, where I was confirmed, and actually where my grandfather had been in the choir for 50 years. So it was just amazing. I didn't choose that church. God chose it. So that went through, and it was an amazing day. So my first day, I parked the car at my church in Stansted Abbots to start my curacy. And I was confronted by a lecturer from All Nations College. And it wasn't Elizabeth, I can assure you. This lecturer came up to me and said, "Right, June, so what gifts do you bring to our church?" And I thought, gifts? For goodness sake, you know, I've only just got here. And I just said, love. I just said, love. And I hope that that is a gift that I brought here to St. Michael's and to all of you at different times in my life and in my ministry. So many stories, amazing stories that I could tell you about much rejection in the early days, people walking out of the church, people refusing to accept the sacrament from me, the funeral where a wife swore like a trooper when I knocked at the door to take her husband's funeral, but we ended up great friends. So after 4 happy years at Stansted Abbots, I returned to my home village in Albury with the intention of taking over as vicar there. But it was not to be. I was diagnosed with breast cancer and I took some time out to recover. The bishop decided to send me somewhere safe for 6 months. And so he sent me here to St. Michael's. He said, "Do 6 months, we'll have a chat and then we'll decide where to send you." Well, no one's ever contacted me since. That's the truth. I have never been contacted. It's the longest 6 months in history. But obviously God had an intention. He wanted me to stay here and not go back to Albury. Sorry, Albury. I know some people from Albury here today. But what a blessing. It's been such an amazing 20 years. And currently working in a dream team under Derwin, who, bless him, has got 3 old age pensioners to look after, I think. And sometimes you see him pulling his hair out, you know, when we forget what we should do and we do things at the wrong time. But we mean well, Derwin, we do. The gospel reading of the little boy with the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish is an example to all of us to offer to God that little that we have, because in his hands he will bless it and he will multiply our gifts. So the message today is simple, is that God is faithful and just. And you know, if he calls us, he equips us. I know, believe me, I know. And if we can just totally put our trust in him, he won't let us down. He doesn't promise us an easy ride. And my journey, as many of you will know, has had some very big potholes. Rejection by my church, one church, cancer, and the biggest one of all, losing David, my husband, 10 years ago. David had supported me in a wonderful way, sharing me and allowing me to go non-stipendiary, which I said meant a huge drop in our income. But even better, he learned to cook. And he learned to do the Sunday lunch, because he was a traditionist. You couldn't have Sunday lunch without a roast dinner. So I would come home from Stansted Abbots, it was apron on, collar off, but he would have done it all. And then we had a great time, and the family always came on a Sunday in those days. So my message to you this morning is, whatever and however small you think your gift is, offer it to God. Say, Lord, here I am. Can you use this? It might be music, it might be singing, it might be going to see people, it might be praying, it might be even wearing a collar. Who knows? Whatever it is, you know, offer it to God and he will use you. But he can't do anything if you don't offer. And just trust him. Trust in his faithfulness, because he's a faithful God. And my goodness, he's been faithful to me. So faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, unto me. Amen.